ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
And on Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, one of our favorite segments is Brother Johnny in Houston, Texas today. Johnny! How are you?
We're great down here in Texas.
It's Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy, Chicago, Illinois. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you guys?
Well, we're fine. We were in Michigan last few days with the kids. Johnny, I forgot to check whether the cottage had air conditioning.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's okay, Steve. You get to feel your natural surrounding environment.
It was about 95 in the cottage. It was so hot. But the kids didn't complain at all, Coach. I complained and whined way more than they did. They didn't do anything. They were fine with it.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, I just got in this morning, guys, from Los Angeles. So I was out there shooting for ESPN some promos, but so LA. You know, I guess we have traffic everywhere, but my goodness gracious!
And they drive fast.
I forgot how much. I mean everybody. There's of course there's no mass transportation, so everybody has a car.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we have pretty much bumper and rush hour here in Houston, Steve, but everybody's not going 85.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, too.
We begin with Detroit, Michigan.
The Motor City is bankrupt. It's an estimated $18.5 billion in the hole. Now, city and state leaders must rebuild Detroit's broken budget. Falling property values, a drop in tax revenue, and rampant crime. Add the auto industry collapse and government corruption under former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, and you get a major money mess. Despite the circumstances, city leaders suggest, at least for now, it's business as usual. The bankruptcy could last through summer or fall 2014, but with a decrease in the number of residents and businesses, it may take even longer. Robert Gray, Fox News.
How's Detroit, Johnny, come out of something like this?
Well, you declare bankruptcy, which actually, Steve, is really a timeout. You don't have to, like, close all the businesses. What you do is you don't have to pay if the city of Detroit owed Johnny and Stevie and Mike $1 million. They don't have to pay us right now. They have to work something out. They may pay us $100,000. We may get all our money, but they get time to work it out. We can't sue them and put more pressure on them. So that's for step one. So they did that, and then I guess they have to quit spending as much, Mike, and maybe find a way to raise money. But
you don't understand how these things happen. Of course, the vision of the individuals in leadership positions must have been atrocious. I mean, and the decisions they made must have been worse than that. When you look at the situation they're in, you look at the part of the reason, the main reason basically is because of the leadership of that former mayor. But I mean, it's got to be a mindset right now that these people, why would you accept that? I mean, I don't know if they accept it, but I mean, well, why wouldn't you fight like heck to get away from that? Because, Detroit, listen, it's so great for our economy, but with this going on, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Well, too, Mike, you got a little bit of a kind of a blind side when you have an industry like the auto industry, Stevie, that was just booming, and you start getting used to spending money, and then of course things turn, and you don't quit spending money fast enough.
Yeah, John. You're right. The auto—they're making more autos now and selling more autos now than they ever have in the history of the world. I mean, I understand there's more competition. I know that they've lost a lot of business to foreign competition, whether it be European or whether it be Japanese. But it's pretty interesting when you look at it. You know, you were the only kid on the block for a long time, and all of a sudden now there's some big guys on the block with you.
Well, they're in a big hole, and the problem with a city going bankrupt, of course, their revenue's taxes, Steve.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if people
absolutely
leave Detroit, they're not going to pay because they're gone.
Who's going to move their business to Detroit, Michigan right now? Who's going to want to move to Detroit, Michigan right now?
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, nobody. That's right. That's the problem.
All right. It's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Last night on Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump on the economy.
Well, I certainly would. I mean, there are a lot of strategies, but if you look at what's going on with China and other countries, they're making our product. They're doing everything. They're making what we sell. They're making a lot of things. Now they're going to start their own airplane companies to compete with Boeing. We send our cars. We send everything over there. They take them. And by the way, these companies are signing agreements that they have to give away their technology to China. Otherwise, you can't do business in China. China charges taxes to these companies that do business in China. So we have to get back to China. And it's not only China. It's China and other countries. It's also OPEC. If you look at what's going on, there's so much oil. There's so much energy around. And yet it doesn't go down. It's setting up new records, and it's setting new records. OPEC is laughing at us. How stupid we are, Bill. How stupid we are. So you have to attack China and other countries economically. You have to go back to making product.
Is it easy to make sense when you're not a politician, Johnny?
Well, it seems to be easy to make sense. And China's pretty industrious, and they're going to compete, and they're going to do what we do because we do some pretty good stuff. So they're smart enough to copy it.
We kind of were the pattern for success for a long time in the world. Now you look at India, you look at China, you look at Japan, you look at Russia. I mean, come on, guys, there's a lot of them. And they aren't looking at us anymore. They're going past us.
Well, and they're making things, and they're making them good enough for others to buy, including us. We're buying a lot of the stuff they're making.
Yep,
so,
absolutely.
But I think the Americans are still leading the way, but you just have to be aware that, hey, there's no easy street.
Yep.
You know, you have to wake up every day, and you have to think, what am I going to do to be productive? And or else someone's going to pass you out.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, and boy, it doesn't take long, because we've taught a lot of countries how to do things, and now with our own problems, it does feel like, boy, the competition, it should make us better. I mean, if we have good competition, it ought to make us better. We're the innovative guys. We're supposed to be.
Well, it makes you better if it costs you something. If you have to sit on the bench, you're going to work hard to get better. But if you think you deserve it and take it for granted, and you're competing against someone who's never had what we have, then you're going to get beat. So you better wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, another controversy this week was the cover of the Rolling Stone putting the Boston Marathon bomber on it last night on O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera.
And you say?
Well, you know, it's not impressive. First of all, it is creepy and in bad taste, and they used a photo that made him look, you say, Justin Bieber, more like Jim Morrison from a famous cover of Rolling Stone. But it's not unprecedented. You had in 1970, Charles Manson was on the cover. Time Magazine has had Hitler and Osama bin Laden on the cover.
Can I stop you right there? That's a menacing cover. That's not Justin Bieber, okay? So nobody has any problem with that. Time Magazine's Man of the Year is not a good or a bad person. It's a person that influences the world the most. So Hitler would be in a context there, and so would Osama bin Laden. This is an attempt to be warm and fuzzy with this guy, I think, and that's why so many people are angry.
Mike, did you see that cover?
I did. But then again, guys, I mean, I hate to say this, so if Rolling Stone magazine had to rely on my buying their magazine to exist, they're out of business, guys. I'm sorry. Trash is trash. You can spin it any way you want to, but it's garbage. It was garbage 30 years ago. It's still garbage.
You know, I never read that either, Steve, and that's really, I have to give up the same weight as Mike, zero. It's like, you know, but I think it is bad taste, and I think it's sad that somebody decided to do that.
Yeah.
But,
we'll start glamorizing criminals and crime and these people, listen, these guys did a bad deed, man. They killed a lot of people. They blew up things. I mean, you just can't, you can't condone that stuff.
I'm not sure how sorry that kid is either.
Well, they write about how he was a pretty good kid and went off the deep end and became a monster. And there are people. And I've
really?
Seen,
that's great.
I've seen young ladies on the street holding signs saying, he's innocent, he's in. I mean, they're just, it's creepy out. People that have this infamous, it doesn't matter if you're famous or infamous, they still, ooh, it's a celebrity thing, and they get this weird thing about wanting to marry the guy. It's creepy. It's wacky. It's unbelievable. It really, really is.
So well, maybe we can get all those people in together and send them to prison with this clown.
Right.
All right, the George Zimmerman reaction. Al Sharpton wants to march in 100 cities, Johnny. Is all that going to work?
Not much. Look, that's a politically driven deal where if you're going to ask someone for their support so they can protect you, you have to create somebody to protect them from. And they're just making it up. I didn't see the kind of reaction maybe the drivers, the propagandists were expecting. And I think there's a lot of people out there. I saw pictures of rallies in parks, and looking closely at them, a lot of those people were actually white. They're the propagandists, Steve. They're just swallowing hook, line, and sinker. But I didn't see the kind of outrage. I think the black community's starting to wonder about 50 years of allegiance to the Democratic Party, 95% turnout for whatever candidates foisted upon them. What do they get in the deal, Steve? 74 casualties over the 4th of July. That's reality.
In Chicago alone.
What? Yeah. In Chicago alone?
Yeah.
That's the deal? I think there's a rethinking going on, and Al Sharpton's rhetoric, hysteria, isn't going to change it because they need an option. Now, the Republicans, that's another story. They should go ask people who are ready to listen to vote for them. Right now, they're pretty inept, and it's like taking candy from a baby. But, Steve, as I've mentioned before, a baby will usually howl if you take the candy. It's the Republicans are like clueless. They're trying to explain to a box of 500 votes in the trunk of a car why they should vote for them because they have a better life. Steve, there's no one in the box. That was just a box of votes delivered, package certified, in case they needed them. And ask Al Franken about it.
Yeah.
He'll just laugh.
Well, I know one thing about Al Sharpton now. He had about a $600 suit on. I say $600 could have been $1,200.
Yeah.
I look at these guys. I know, where did this money come from?
Yeah.
I thought this guy was a reverend. I mean, I thought he was it's supposed to be the image of Christ. These guys, I mean, my God, they're dressed to the teeth. They're looking good. They got some, I'll tell you what, they got some real money tied up in fashion there.
Well, they're carrying the cause forward, and they get paid to do that, or they raise money for it. And,
how do they raise the money?
They get from people who want them to speak out on behalf
of who don't have money.
It'll be interesting because if you create a party and you have 100 demonstrations, you better darn well be sure somebody comes. And so they got to make sure because their cameras will be out following all of this. And again, when Jimmy Carter said that the decision was the right one by the jury, you're going, okay, so if anybody actually looks at the evidence, they'd conclude that was the right call.
Right. I don't think they'll have too many crowds. Now, don't forget that we're liable to see, like, the first two rows and then...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're not going to necessarily pan up to show how many people are really out because it's not going to be that many for this. It just wasn't a very good sample case for the civil rights movement, for sure, because of all the differences of... it just what they were promoting to start wasn't true. Look, it's politically driven... I say because you go back to the very beginning, Steve. If you look at the NBC report of the story with that edited 911 call, that's just deliberate. So it's like somebody's trying to push buttons.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of people. It's not the people who are buying into it. It's
some liberal media. They're trying to control, the thinking of the people
and manipulating. That's exactly right.
A certain outcome. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I watched something the other day that was astounding, and it was just Piers Morgan was interviewing this black guy, and the black guy was saying, well, that the media really takes advantage of people of color and this and that, what he was trying to say was, I thought right, and this guy was destroying it. He said, well, get out of your mouth, this and that, and I don't ask me why I ever watched Piers Morgan. I was flashing through the channels, and I just say, every once in a while, I like to get my liberal feel, and so I got to get just like I'm a junkie. I got to get just a
we'll
little
see what
shot
they're saying,
of
right.
to remind
yeah,
me
right.
how much I hate it.
All right, coming back with Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, and the new Sunny 95.3. We've got to touch on the British Open, and also is Mike Ditka involved in football in India? That's next. Johnny, Mike, are you involved in football in India?
Well, yeah, they came to a bunch of former NFL players and people who were involved in the NFL to some degree, and and they're trying to start this league in India, and they've started it. They play. It's interesting. I've seen some videos. It's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, they have great crowds. They have great names. They have crazy names, scorpions and, you know, the vipers. Yeah. And, you know, I mean.
Yeah, cobras.
The cobras, yeah. It's crazy. But, yeah, you know, and why not?
Johnny, I think I could hit you on a down, out, and up. We could play.
No, Steve, we might get a little time in over there.
You go down, out, up, and we'll play for the Kanpur Jaguars, and we can get it going. I mean, that's, Mike, the game of, when you say football in India, everybody thinks soccer. And so now the game of football, American football, is really growing, isn't it?
Well, it really is. I mean, all over the world. It's just that you got to understand that the game that went all over the world was soccer. That is football to most people around the world. When you say football, now when they say American football, now you're talking about something different. And the popularity of American football. Well, you look at when I coached. We played a preseason game in Sweden. We played one every year in London. We played one in Germany. So it's a major, the exposure over there, and there are a lot of fans now. Are there enough to support a league? Probably not. But they're going to have a team over in England. You can bet on that.
Well, and I'll tell you, the Indian League, Steve, I think there's a billion people in India.
Yeah.
And they've got Sri Lanka and Pakistan in. So the first year was last year, Mike, I guess.
And you know, if it's by accident somewhere along the way, the main thing is, and my understanding now is that they are getting the television deals.
Huh.
So exposure of this product to their fans and also fans outside of the country would be very, very important.
Well,
I'll tell you, that's it. That's interesting. I know you've got a few of the NFL guys. I know, noticed Kurt Warner was in.
Yeah, Kurt Warner's a big part of it, too,
No, amazing.
But, you know, it's I don't know that we'll ever do anything with it, but it's interesting. It has great potential. We'll say that.
Well, and the Indians, we work well with the Indians, and I think they like the Americans.
Yeah, you bet. Finally, the British Open, Mike. When the fairways are as fast as the greens, unbelievable how hard that is to putt.
Oh, the whole course. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm almost positive I played Muirfield. That was one of the courses we played. I know we did. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, you think twice, but geez, why would anybody want to even play this course? You know, the condition and everything. But then again, it's pretty interesting when you're standing on the tee and the wind's blowing and you look out there and it looks like a little runway.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that's it. You got to hit it down a runway or else you're in all the junk.
So I wonder how old that course is.
This is not quite as old as St. Andrews, I don't think. But, boy, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, right? I mean, but it's just like you hit the ball, Johnny, and if you happen to roll off the runway into the fescue, good luck.
Guys, these are the best players in the world. Plus four right now is the cut level, and it's going to go higher, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think the scores are going to get any lower this afternoon.
Yeah, because it's drying out.
Garcia, he's putting for par. He's plus five.
Yeah, I'm watching the putt now. He misses. Now he's plus six. I mean, it's hard. And, Johnny, you got Zach Johnson put up a great score yesterday, but this is anybody's open, Mike.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, how'd Jason Spieth do?
Justin Spieth.
Justin.
He's right there, and I think what about even Mike, something like that. I mean,
yeah, something like that. Even or plus one.
Yeah, it's remarkable though how hard this is. Like putting on glass. I just don't know how you'd even do it. I think these pros are really happy to two putt. I mean, they're really.
Well, and the other thing too, and you watched this morning, and I think for that reason, a lot of guys are leaving a lot of putts short today.
Yeah.
There's another one, Dustin Johnson just left one short going down the hill. Because they're so daggone fast. If you don't, they'll roll off the green.
They'll go way off.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, we'll leave it there. We'll talk on Monday. Always a pleasure. Thank you, as always, for your time.
All right,
thank
guys.
You,
you
Steve.
Take care. God bless you.
God bless.
Thanks, Mike.
Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, always a pleasure, Mondays and Fridays, right here on the radio on ESPN 93.5 and the new Sunny 95.3.